Brothers, let us try and encourage one another. Let us try and encourage one another. There are a lot of brothers that are in the back. The sound is traveling also. These are Mubarak nights. If you are not engaged in ibadat, let us... These are not nights for having our idle chit-chatter, etc. So let us try and avoid that completely. So brothers that are by the Dastarkhan area, we make a humble appeal to you to please try and come into the masjid. The first session was quite long, so this won't be very long. Inshallah, a little bit mujahada we make. Let us, the main thing is that after this we can try and engage ourselves in some dua, some tahajjud, tilawat of Quran, turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know if we're going to get this chance again. This is a golden opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. These nights, ulama say, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, search for Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So even if it is not Laylatul Qadr, at some year, because we get this indication that it revolves between the odd nights. So at some year, the 27th would have been the container that contained Laylatul Qadr. So already that elevates the value of these nights. Lama say it is the zarf, it is the container in which Allah has kept that night. The last majlis we had, we touched a little bit on the importance of us making this niyat and intention that we will introduce in our individual learning every day. Take out some time to read a little bit from Hayatul Sahaba, the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that, we also mentioned that it is important that we pay attention to a particular incident which Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh introduces in the kitab. What heading? Because we find that the headings that Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh has brought more often than not are actually the principles of the work of Dawat and Tabligh. These what we call usul, adab, etiquettes, jamaats are going out in the path of Allah, this hidayat that is given. Our ishtima also, the final day before the dua, they have hidayat. Sometimes that hidayat talk is 2 hours, 2.5 hours, various usul and principles. What's ajeeb is if you listen attentively, every one of those usuls and principles that are mentioned in the hidayat talk, somewhere and somewhere we'll find it as one of the headings of Hayatul Sahaba. And you will find incidents from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, just the other day in the Riyadu Salihin before Ramadan, in madrasa, we never used to pay attention to this because by that time we had not been exposed. But when you enter an environment of something, then you start looking at things from a different angle. Clearly it's mentioned, for example, we get this hidayat is given that by when you go in the path of Allah, when you come back, don't go home first. Go to the masjid. And then from the masjid go home. So this hidayat is given to our jamaats. Illa mashallah, some follow it, some don't follow. Yet, in the Riyadu Salihin, we came across where a sahabi returned to Medina Munawwara from the path of Allah and he came straight to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, did you go to the masjid? So he said, no. So he said, go to the masjid first. So we find even down to those what we may not consider trivialized usul and principles of this work, we find that everything is extracted from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this particular incident, which I, like I said the other day, we started but we never got to the actual incident. Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, under the chapter wherein these are nights of dua, the hidayat that Rasulullah ﷺ gave Aisha radiallahu anha, that read this, doesn't mean only read that dua. It means that Aisha, Allah gave you these nights for dua. And dua must be given emphasis on this night. So with that in mind, I'm reading from the section, Mu'izzu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the 15th chapter of Hayatul Sahaba, wherein he has devoted an entire chapter to the dua, the manner of the dua, the etiquette of the dua, the type of dua, the wording of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Because dua is a very, very, very important part of our shariat, our deen. It has to become a part of our lives. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِي كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهِ. Aisha radiallahu anhu tells us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the zikr of Allah every moment. What was meant? The du'as that he used to read. Everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did is du'a. And Mu'izzu Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, many of those du'as, and when they occurred, he has mentioned in this chapter. But this incident which I'm going to read now, he's brought an absolutely ajeeb heading. Astonishing. And from this heading we can glean one very, very important principle. That this mindset that for deen you must come to me. Like a lot of people, sometimes they form this mindset or this type of thinking that it is beneath the dignity of a pious scholar to go to the people. People should come to him. If we look in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find no evidence of this. Our elders say the essence of tabligh is be talabo ke paas jana. Go to those who have no desire for deen. Go to them. That is tabligh. Not wait for people to come to you. To go to the masses. To go individual to individual. And normally, when we speak or we hear of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the name of Umar radiallahu anhu, immediately we tend to associate it with his jalali mizaj. With his temperament. That Umar was a person who would emphasize the shariat and deen, in other words, the straight road. This is normally the mental image that we form. But if you read deeply the lives of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions, you'll see a completely different picture coming. Compassion of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. The concern of Umar radiallahu anhu for a gunegar. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam planted in the hearts of Sahaba. Don't write anyone off. Go person to person. Don't wait for people to come to you. So like I said, very ajeeb heading Mu'izzu Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi brings. What heading? Under the chapter of dua. Ad-du'a liman asa. The main heading he brings, the dua you are supposed to make for those who are sinners. In other words, if you come to know of somebody whose life is gone off the track, is involved in maybe womanizing, in drugs, in liquor, whatever. Today we find there's so much of evil temptation out there. A lot of times we feel it is an insult to deen for us to go to those people. Here, leave going to them. Mu'izzu Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi brings a chapter that you are supposed to make dua for that person. Cry before Allah, make dua for the person who's gone off the track. Not write him off. So, ad-du'a liman asa, that's the main heading he brings. And then under that, of all the Sahaba, whose incident he brings, Qissa to Umar. The incident of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. With which type of person? Like I said, normally we associate Umar as being somebody very strict. Yet, the incident of Yusuf Abdullah brings qissa to Umar radiallahu anhu, ma'a rajulin tataba'a fi sharab. About the interaction of Sayyidina Umar with an alcoholic who had gone back into his bad habit. In other words, a person in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu is an alcoholic. He made tawbah, he tried to change his life. Like I said, don't write anybody off. Not only made tawbah, not only changed his life, he was used to frequent the majlis of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And then, shaitan, nafs doesn't leave anybody. He got affected, got tempted, and now he went back into his bad habit. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who came to know about it. What was the reaction? From this we learn the usul and the principles of the work. Our work is to go to those who are away from deen. Whether it be sharab, whether it be womanizing, whether it be zina, whatever it may be. Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, they had the worry in the heart for every ummati, every individual. Because the iman that is in the heart of that person is more valuable than the seven heavens and the seven earths put together. And we don't know, that man will make tawbah, he'll become Allah's wali. Our hearts may turn tomorrow, we may get involved in sin. Allah protect us. So don't look down upon anyone. Don't write anybody off. We are not even allowed, what we learn in Quran and Hadith, haqarat ki nigah. In other words, to feel that you are so pious that you can look down at the impiety of someone else. That also is not allowed. The mizaj of nubuwat, our elders tell us, they say, dil dil par asar karta hai. The heart affects the heart. If your heart is clean, then your heart will affect the person you are talking to. But if in your heart you harbor rancor or this superiority complex, mashallah, main to bahut muttaqi hu, ye to gunegar hai. I am very pure and he is gunegar. Then it is impossible that your dawat will affect that person. Because dil dil par asar karta hai. This is why Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah used to write that to go to a gunegar with this in your mind that you are superior to that person, to even meet him on that foundation is haram. You're not allowed to look down at anyone. Because we don't know in 1 second the situation can change. And if you are looking down upon him, then what is that? That is pride. And that is a more dangerous type of pride than normal pride. Hugo Boss suit, Rolex watch, fancy car, big bank balance. That pride you can see. And that pride can be treated. This pride. And mashallah, I am very pious. And that man is a gunegar. This pride, this is a makhfi pride. This is a hidden type of pride. The term ulama give it is ujb. Ujb. Where you become carried away and fascinated by your piety to the extent that you start looking down upon others. They say this is even more dangerous than the other pride. And this will destroy not just you, it will destroy your neki also. بِحَسْبِمْ رِئِمْ مِنَ الشَّرْ Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said it is a sufficient statement of the evil of a man. It is a sufficient testimony of the evil of a person an yahqira akhahu al-muslim, that he looks with haqarat at his Muslim brother. So very, very important in the work of Dawud and Tabligh particularly. We have to be very, very careful of this. Ilyas Rahmatullah used to say that I fear this more than anything else. This is one of the things I fear the most. For those engaged in the work of Dawud and Tabligh, this is one of the things I fear the most. Why? Because this can't be seen easily. But there are certain gauges by which you can gauge whether this is coming in the heart. And one of the most evident gauges by which you can gaze is when you start noticing the weaknesses and the faults of others and start picking on that all the time. And all you see is that. Then you must know there's very great khatra and danger. The mizaj of Shariat, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah used to say, the sign of Iman is to make excuses for a Muslim. And the sign of Nifaq, the sign of hypocrisy, and yatlubul ma'azir is to say, look for some excuse to put a good interpretation even when you saw the wrong. He said that's the sign of Iman. And the sign of Nifaq is to look for weaknesses. Clearly, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah was a great scholar, great mujahid also. Ayatul Iman and Yatlubul Ma'adir. But no, if you see a man in the doldrums too, look for some uzar or excuse to explain away, put some good interpretation on that, that is a sign of Iman. We should be so preoccupied and so concerned about our own reformation that we shouldn't have time to notice the weaknesses of others. Ask yourself a question. If you feel that, mashallah, you are on a level now that you can write others off, all you do is ask yourself one question. Why? My age is 30, 40, 50, 60. In my life till now, have I made even one sajda? One sajda that I think is worthy of being presented in Allah's court. And if your one sajda is not worthy, then what gives you the right to look down at anybody else? So this cleanliness of heart, this is a great challenge that all the time is there in front of us. And like we see, Moisu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, ajeeb hai de. If a man is on asa means open sinner. The heading of the chapter, person engaged in da'wat and tabligh has to raise his hands and cry before Allah for those that are in sin. Make dua for them. أخرج ابن أبي حاتم عن يزيد بن الأصم قال كان رجل من أهل الشام ذو بأس وكان يفد إلى عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه ففقده عمر فقال ما فعل فلان بن فلان فقالوا يا أمير المؤمنين تتابع في هذا الشراب There was a person from Syria who was known for his courage. In other words, the narrator of the incident is mentioning the positive about the person. Where did Umar learn this? Allahu Akbar. He learnt it at the feet of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This mizaj or temperament of positivity. What we call positive energy. See good. Because one thing we must understand, if you want to look for bad weaknesses, deficiencies, you'll find it. It's there. And if you want to look for good, you'll find that also. Unfortunately, today we've equated piety and taqwa and spiritual development with looking for weaknesses. And eventually we get to a point where we only see weaknesses. You know, they give this example about a donkey. If you give a donkey a green grass, make it wear green sunglasses, then everything it will see green. If you give it black sunglasses, everything will see black. So that's the mentality of a donkey. That you only see negativity. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to make someone's janazah salam. Umar comes forward, innahu rajulun fasiq. Ya Rasulullah, he's a fasiq, he's a sinner, you can't make his janazah salam. How can you make his janazah salam? Like I said, sahaba were not farishtas. They also made mistakes, but they learned from their mistakes. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more mushfiq, more kind, more compassionate, a teacher, there was no one than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu rajulun fasiq. Ya Rasulullah, he's a fasiq. Umar says, what does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Step back from the janazah? No. turns to Sahaba and he asks them one question. He said, has any, listen to this. From this we learn the mizaj of nubuwat, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the cleanliness of heart. Innahu rajulun fasiq. Umar says, innahu rajulun fasiq. Ya Rasulullah, he's a fasiq, he's a sinner, open sinner. This is why Umar fell. How can Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam lead his janazah salah? What is the reaction? Turns to the majma that is there at the time of the janazah and addresses them. And what does he say to them? Has any one of you at any time seen this person doing any good deed? Has any one of you at any time seen this person doing any good deed, whatever good deed? So one person stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, yes, I saw. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him what it was. So he said, this man stayed awake one night guarding in the path of Allah. Stayed awake one night guarding in the path of Allah. That was enough. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went ahead and led his janazah salah. And then, important lesson, don't write anybody off. Don't become judge and jury. Allah's maghfirat we can't even imagine. Jannat is very vast. So after leading the janazah salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addresses that mayyit. And he says, that your companions say that you are a sinner, I, the Nabi of Allah, say that I can see you in Jannat. So decision is Allah, it's not my and your decision. We don't have the right to become judge and jury of anybody. So Umar radiallahu anhu, his tarbiyat took place at the feet of the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now in his majlis, this person is narrating that there was a person from Syria, Dhuba'sin, courageous warrior. He used to impress people with his bravery on the battlefield. And he would regularly attend the majlis of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Kana yafidu ila Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Fafaqadahu Umar. Very important usul of tabligh. Sati that is regular in the mashwara, regular in the programs, regularly coming for gash, regularly attending the work. Look after your satis. If any facing some problem, some difficulty, somebody is sick, some whatever it is, don't write anybody off. And don't live isolated existence. Connect with one another, assist one another. So straight away, one person that was coming is no more coming, straight away, the satis take note, fafaqadahu. Umar asked, where is that person? He used to come regularly, I don't see him, where is he? What happened? So this hidayat that is given to us, that in your daily masjidwar, jamaat, etc., your masjid satis, etc., be concerned for one another, find out what's going on, try and assist one another. So Umar asks, Ma fa'ala fulan ibn fulan, what happened to so and so? So they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, tataba fi hadha al-sharab. He had a history of alcoholic dependence. He was an alcoholic previously. And now he has reverted back to that. Now this is Khairul Qurun. This is the period closest to the period of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today we look down upon a sharabi. What must have been at that time? Today alcohol is prevalent. You walk out and see a big advert, big picture of a bottle. That was a period where this was inconceivable. So how much more should have been the reprehensibility of this action? Person being associated with alcohol in the time, so close to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is the reaction of Umar? Upset, angry, lash out? No. Da Umar katibahu. Umar immediately sends for someone. That, listen, I want to write this person a letter. I want to write him a letter. And as the Mohsin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentions exactly what Umar mentions in that letter. Faqal, uktub right now. Min Umar ibn al-Khattab ila Fulan ibn Fulan. This is Amirul Mu'mineen. 2,200,000 square miles ruler. And the concern for one person who is an alcoholic. That one person also is not written off. Umar dictates a letter to him. Salamun alayk. Make salam. Fa'inni ahmadu ilayka Allah alladhi la ilaha illahu. I praise Allah before you, besides whom there is no deity. In other words, la ilaha illallah. And then the verse of the Quran. Very, very important. Tabligh and our dawah is inextricably linked with the Quran. Whole chapter of our Fazail-e Amal is Fazail-e Quran, not for nothing, it's not an accident. We are our shauq, our inclination, our attachment with Qur'an must increase every day that we are involved in the work. When Allah commands Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with tabligh in the Qur'an, what does Allah say? Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh. And O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make tabligh, balligh. Literal translation, make tabligh. Not only is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded, the whole ummah is commanded. Ya ayyuhar rasul, O my Nabi, and obviously the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, balligh, make tabligh of what? Ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Literal translation, make tabligh of the Quran that was revealed upon you. So this la ilaha illallah, Allah's sifat, Allah's attribute, all this is Quran. Umar is writing to an alcoholic, appoints his person, his scribe right now, straight away Quran. And what in Quran? If it was you and I, what if Quran? إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. You and I would have written that. That liquor and wine and gambling is the filth of the filth of shaitan. Quran says this. إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْس, filth, najasat, مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is the action of shaitan. And you and I, with the mindset we have of Umar, would have expected this to be written. But what does Umar write? Inni ahmadullah alladhi la ilaha illahu. I praise before you Allah, besides whom there is no God. La ilaha illallah. And then, ghafiridham. My Allah is very, very forgiving. Ghafiridham. Ghafiridham. Allah describes himself in the Quran as the one who forgives sins. Who is Umar writing to? To an alcoholic. غافر الذم. First expression. قابل التوب. No matter how sinful you are, I am reminding you, Allah accepts the tawbah of one who repents. The door to his maghfirat is not closed. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cursed that person, made baddua for that person. This great warning in Quran and Hadith for that person who makes people lose hope in the mercy of Allah. No matter how great a sinner, you in your da'wat and your approach to that person must never make him lose hope in Allah's mercy. Give him encouragement of Allah's mercy, Allah's compassion, Allah's kindness, regardless of what he's doing. This is the usul and principle. So Umar begins his letter like this. غَافِرِ الذَّمْ. Allah is very forgiving of all sins. قَابِلِ التَّوْبِ. Allah accepts the repentance. But that is not a license to disobey Allah. That is not a license to disobey Allah. Iman is hope in Allah's mercy, but fear also has to be there. Otherwise, how is a man going to stay away from sin? So third expression. This is Quran. غافر الذم قابل التوب شديد العقاب. Allah's punishment also is severe. But first Allah's maghfirat. Why? Because Allah's rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. Allah says, my mercy is greater than my anger. My mercy is greater than my anger. غافر الذنب قابل التوب شديد العقاب. Zittol. This expression that is found in the Quran in Surah Ghafir. Zittol. Ajib. Commentary of this, the Mufassirin have written. Satiru dhambi lil mu'mineen. Waqabili tawbi min al-dhambi min kulli mudhnibin. Wadil ghina awil in'am awil man. Allah conceals the sins of a sinner. Allah accepts the repentance of one who is regretful. And Allah is very, very generous and kind. So, ghafir al-dham, qabil al-tawb. Allah's punishment also is severe, shadid al-iqab, zittol. La ilaha illa huwa ilayhi al-masir. These incidents are not stories, they are to imbibe within us what we call the mizaj and the temperament of that character and that way of life that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made tarbiyat of sahaba ikram upon. Find there's one incident, the other day in our jamaat when we were reading this same incident, we mentioned it. Once Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi was going, great Allah wala. Famous incident is mentioned in most of the contemporary scholars have mentioned this incident about Malik bin Dinar. And once he was going and he saw one handsome young man. What this person was doing? He had like one mashwara going on with all his engineers, very wealthy youngster. And all his engineers, all the artisans around him, there was a hive of activity, giving this instruction, that instruction. So Malik bin Dinar stopped, saw this person, he asked him, "Bhai, kya kare? What are you doing?" So he said that, "I'm building a palace." So those days palaces, especially when with the wealthy, and with the affluent class were associated with liquor, with women, with zina, with all sorts of israf. So I'm building a huge palace, wealthy. This mizaj and temperament, they don't write anybody off, have concern for everyone. So Malik bin Dinar says to him, first, it's mentioned, this youngster knew Malik bin Dinar. So when Malik bin Dinar stopped to question him, he was shocked that, "Hazrat, you have stopped to ask me?" So he asked him, "What is he doing?" So he said, "I'm putting up this palace." So Malik bin Dinar told him that, "I have a proposition for you." "What is the proposition?" "How much this palace is going to cost you?" So he mentioned some figure, maybe 100,000, 200,000, 1 million dinars, whatever it was. So Malik bin Dinar says, "I have a proposition for you of a better palace than this. Labinatu dhahab, hadithna ya Rasulullah anil janna ma bina'uha." Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Nabi of Allah, tell us, what are the homes of Jannat made of?" So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Labinatu dhahab, labinatu fidda, milatuha al-misk, حَسْبَاهُ اللُّؤْلُ وَالْيَاقُوتُ وَتُرَابُهَا الزَّعْفَرَانُ. One brick of gold, one brick of silver. To cement the two together, you use cement in the world, there it will be musk. The sand will be sapphires and emeralds. The stones will be rubies, diamonds." So Malik bin Dinar describes a palace in Jannat and he says, "I have a proposition for you. This 1 million or 2 million that you're going to spend on this palace, give it to me. And in exchange for it, I will give you one palace in Jannat." So what is this da'wat? Usloob of da'wat. To put the shock of akhirat in the man who's running behind dunya. So this youngster says to Malik bin Dinar, this palace that you are promising me, this description that you've given, and you're saying this, that what I was going to use here, I must use in that. Can you guarantee me it? He said, yes. Allah will give it to you. Spend this money in the way of Allah, Allah will give it to you. So this youngster says, you know what? He wasn't a fool. He says, give me one night to think about your proposition. So he says, no problem. And then, Malik bin Dinar, that whole night on the musalla, crying to Allah. That, Ya Allah, make this young man a youngster of Jannat, not of this dunya. That this mizaj of not writing anyone off. That Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, coming back to this incident, you see the parallels. First the proposition, write, instructs his katib to write. After telling him to write, ثُمَّ قَالَ لِأَصْحَابِهِ, Umar addresses everyone that was present in that majlis. أُدْعُ اللَّهَ لِأَخِيكُمْ أَنْ يُقْبِلَ بِقَلْبِهِ وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. We did what is in our control, what we could do. We've sent now this message. I instruct every one of you now going to dua. Beg from Allah. Cry before Allah for your brother. So Umar doesn't, this is not just dua for a sinner by one person. Umar instructs everyone in that majlis to get into dua. Udu Allah li akhikum. Make dua for your brother. Cry before Allah for your brother. That Allah turns his heart and that Allah accepts his repentance. So Malik bin Dinar also, proposition was made. The youngster said, give me one night to think about it. That whole night in dua. Ya Allah, make him a youngster of Jannat. The next morning, this youngster comes to Malik bin Dinar. And he said, I consulted with my family. And I've decided to take you up on your offer. But I have one condition. Like I said, this was a very intelligent youngster. What's the condition? Malik bin Dinar asked him. So he says, I want you to give me an oath. I want you to take qasam that if I give this money, I'm going to get that palace. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Rubba ash'atha aghbar. Rubba ash'atha aghbar. Law aqsama ala Allahi la abarra. Said, in my ummah there will be many people with disheveled hair, dust-laden clothing. Some rewise it comes, matrudun bil adwab. Nobody will give them a second glance. They will have no position or status in the eyes of people. But in the eyes of Allah, law aqsama ala Allahi la abarra. If they take a qasam on Allah, Allah will fulfill the qasam. So he said, I want an oath. Malik bin Dinar says, Pakki baat, I'll give you an oath also. I take an oath, Allah will give you this. Then he didn't just stop at that. He said, next condition, I want it in writing. I want it in writing. So Malik bin Dinar, that also, he said, no problem. Right. So he wrote, from Malik bin Dinar to so and so, in exchange for this amount of money that you are giving to me to spend in the way of Allah for you, I am promising you one palace in Jannat of so and so description. Gave him in writing. And this is what we have learned, that by, even if it is your bosom buddy and friend, when you do a transaction, write it down. 99.9% of the disputes today is because nothing is in writing. You know, in our Mehman circles we say, koi ko na choj. Koi ko na choj is not Shariat. Shariat is, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubu. O people of Iman, when you engage in a financial transaction, write it down and let there be witnesses. That is Shariat. And 99.9% of the disputes that are happening today is because we don't practice upon what the Quran and Hadith is telling us. In any case, that's a separate topic. I'm not going into that now. So he gave him in writing. And then it's mentioned in the kitabs, barely 40 days had passed. But This youngster went into the house, came out with the telly, with a bag full of that funds. The sun did not set on that day, but Malik bin Dinar, right down till the last penny, had spent everything in the path of Allah. Because people whose hearts are connected to Allah, they don't accumulate dunya, they spend the dunya in the way of Allah. Barely 40 days passed, Imam Malik is in the mihrab of the masjid, led the Fajr Salah, makes salam, and to his shock, he notices that same letter that he had written to the youngster lying in the mihrab, on his musalla. When Malik bin Dinar sees this, he gets a shock. Makes tahqiq, goes to the house of that youngster and finds out that yesterday this youngster passed away. On the paper, when Malik bin Dinar picks it up, he turns it around. One is what he had written. And on the reverse side, in ink of noor, of light, we have discharged the promise that you made with that youngster. And we have given him a better palace than the one you promised him. So when he makes tahqiq and he goes to the home of this youngster, he finds out that the previous day this youngster had passed away. Then he asks the family, did he make any wasiyat? Any bequest before he passed away? So they said, yes. He gave us a piece of paper on which a contract was written. He said, must place that piece of paper in his kafan and bury him with it. So Malik bin Dinar took out the piece of paper that was on his mihrab, on his musalla at the time of Fajr. And he said, is this the same paper? They were absolutely shocked. They said, yes, that is exactly the same paper. How did you get it? So then Malik bin Dinar narrated this entire incident. And there was another youngster that was sitting there. When he heard it, he jumped up. Everyone over there was no eye that was dry. Everyone was crying when they heard this incident. And that youngster stood up and he said, that Hazrat, he said he gave you 1 million, I'm prepared to double the amount, give me a palace in Jannat also. Malik bin Dinar, then he told him, I soda. Dekhne ke baad nahi hote. Ye bin dekhe hua soda. Now it's too late. This deal has to happen. Yu'minuna bil ghayb. Iman is iman bil ghayb. Iman in the unseen. Now that you've seen it, it's too late. So nevertheless, thumma qala li ashabi, udu Allah li akhikum an yuqbila bi qalbihi wa yatub Allahu alayhi. Umar instructs all of them that engage in dua. Where is Medina? Where is Syria? Where is Medina? Where is Syria? And that day it wasn't a flight. Catch a flight to Damascus, no. It was horse or camel. Several days journey. For one alcoholic, this is the intizam that is put into place. Letter is written. Everyone is put into dua, and this person is dispatched to go and hand deliver the letter of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Falamma balagha ar-rajul kitabu Umar. When this person receives the transcript of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, ja'ala yaqra'uhu, he starts reading it. Wa yuraddiduhu. Not once, he reads it over and over and over again, saying to himself, Umar has described Allah, Ghafir al-Dham, the forgiver of sins, Qabil al-Tawb, the one who accepts repentance, Shadid al-Iqab, whose punishment also is severe, Qad khadharani uqubatahu. He starts analyzing this letter. He says, Umar has warned me of Allah's punishment, Wa wa'adani an yaghfir li, and has also promised me that Allah will forgive me. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يُرَدِّدُهَا عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. He carried on repeating it to himself over and over again. ثُمَّ بَكَىٰ. Then he started crying. ثُمَّ نَزَعَ فَأَحْسَنَ النَّزَعَ. And then for the rest of his life he gave up liquor. He made sincere tawbah from that haram and wrong that he was doing. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ عُمَرْ خَبْرُهُ. When this information reached Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is very, very important. What does Umar do? قَالَ, he said, هَكَذَا فَاسْنَعُوا إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ أَخًا لَكُمْ زَلَّ زَلَّةً. If any one of you sees any brother of his slipping or going toward the disobedience of Allah, do exactly like what I did. سَدِّدُوهُ, encourage him. وَثِّقُوهُ, give him himmat, give him courage. وَدْعُوا اللَّهُ, and make dua to Allah. أَنْ يَتُوبَ إِلَيْهِ, that Allah should accept his tawbah and his repentance. And very, very important, this last advice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, worthy of being written in gold. What does he say? He says, anybody you see in guna or sin or transgression, give him encouragement, give him himmat, talk to him, give him dawat, make dua to Allah, that Allah accepts his tawbah, and وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَعْوَانًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ عَلَيْهِ. Shaitan has already got an upper hand over him. You now don't start becoming Shaitan's helper against him by running him down, or by picking up on him, or by besmirching his reputation, or by making ghibat about him, or by writing him off, or by spreading negativity. What you are doing when you do that, you are not holding the upper hand or establishing shariat and deen. No, you are actually becoming Shaitan's helper against him. Shaitan is already against him. You don't join that now. لا تكونوا أعواناً للشيطان عليه. As we mentioned, my respected brothers, already 1:05. It's a Mubarak night. Whatever little remains, let us try. If we need to rest, we can rest a little bit. Let us try and spend as much time as we can in salah, in dua, in turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallah, wa bihamdika.